Well, it's time for the Fantasy Football Foursome XL version. Welcome to this show, and thanks for having the Loon app or following us online at 941theloon.com. We're going to keep rolling with the show, and we're going to talk about quarterbacks. And we'll start it over from the top where we did with running backs. Justin, quarterbacks you like this year?
Okay, I like all of the top six-ish. Allen, Hurts, Mahomes, Jackson, Stroud, Richardson. I have Stroud last among those. I'm fine with any one of them if they slip. And one of them, you know, often will. It's usually Anthony Richardson. If he falls far enough, I will take him. Even though I'm pretty big on, you know, waiting on quarterback this season, I like Richardson just because he's a game, you know, he's a league winner, right? He's a video game character. He has a chance to win the whole league for you. Later, I really like Jordan Love. He finished as the ninth quarterback overall in fantasy last season. He's got all kinds of options in the passing game and receiver. They're four deep, I think, that are all pretty solid when healthy. They picked up the running back from the Raiders, Jacobson. My big thing with Love is he finished the second half of the season. He just kept getting better and better, and then he balled out in the playoffs when it mattered most. He played his absolute best. So I hate saying it about a Packer, but I like Love this year. And I really like, if I can do it, and Lyle kept me from doing it last night, I like snagging the rookie for Washington right after him. I think is a nice little pairing.
Lyle, what do you got for quarterbacks you like?
It happened last night. I got one of the few times I was sniped. Jordan Love was someone I definitely wanted to get. I think it would have been in like the seventh round or something like that. And I think, again, he had such a strong finish to his season. He's got weapons. They seem to figure out how to make the QB position in Green Bay be good no matter who's pulling the trigger. So I do like Love if you can get him in, like, again, sixth, seventh, maybe if you're lucky, an eighth round. And I just like the tier right behind him, the Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott. I know there's a holdout situation in Dallas with CeeDee Lamb, but Dak has been pretty steady over the years. And if he's going off as quarterback 10, I mean, you really can draft seven position players, still maybe get Dak in the seventh or eighth round and probably get another top 5 to 10 quarterback. I don't mind that that play at all. So, and then you did bring up the rookies. I'd like to have either one of them. And I'd take Daniels or Caleb Williams as a flyer, as maybe a backup quarterback. You might not have to start one of them. You may be able to get enough depth before that, but to have one of them as a backup guy that could maybe, like, win you the draft and win you hopefully a few more extra games on a bye week.
Jack, give me a quarterback you like, or quarterbacks you like.
Yeah, well, I think Jalen Hurts is the consensus number one. The problem is I don't like watching a lot of Eagles football. So I just don't want to watch the tush push all day long. CJ Stroud would be the number one for me. That's who I would take. I don't see anyone that's going to be able to argue against CJ Stroud being the potentially could be the first quarterback off the board. Tons of depth, tons of talent down there. Anthony Richardson, people are going to sleep on a little bit maybe, or just kind of forget because of last year. But I will tell you who's undervalued, John. I'll give you two. Brock Purdy, I think he's very undervalued. And my boy, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is probably the most undervalued player in the NFL right now, as he has been almost his entire career. And all the dude does is put up massive numbers. He plays the game well. He's level-headed. He's healthy. He's got a receiving core. He's got a tight end. He's got a running back. He's got a new coach that wants to win. I don't see any – and the Falcons just shored up their defense. I don't see any reason why Kirk Cousins is going as late as he is. I took him in the fourth round, ladies and gentlemen, and I will take him in every league.
Well, maybe it's because they're sitting Penix for the place or for the preseason games. Maybe that's he might not be healthy, Jack, Kirk Cousins.
No, that's because there's a lot of teams are sitting there 1-2. A lot of teams are sitting there 1-2.
All right.
Penix played in the preseason. I saw him.
I don't think he did in the last one, but it doesn't matter. I want mobile as a quarterback. I want mobile. I want some footwork. I don't need 100 yards a game, but I'd like to see 40. And I liked how Kyler Murray finished up last year's season. I am I'm thrilled to have him on my team. I got him late, and I like that. Another guy who is just being overlooked is Trevor Lawrence. I like Trevor Lawrence where you're taking him this year, which is late. And the addition of Brian Thomas, and I just think another year of quality coaching versus Urban Meyer, I think Trevor Lawrence could have himself a very nice season. I like him a lot. How about guys you don't like, Justin?
Hey, John, real quick, let me talk about your mobile quarterback take. You think about the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, they're not mobile. Well, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning scored lots of fantasy points. They weren't mobile. That's why I don't take Mahomes. He's one defender getting overzealous and taking his head off away from ending the season. I don't want my fantasy hopes pinned on a quarterback that feels like he has to get outside the pocket every 3 seconds.
I understand that. Mobile quarterbacks were started by Randall Cunningham, though. And so we haven't had him around for a long time. And so I just want the extra rushing yardage, Jack. That's all it is. I'm just trying to win fantasy games.
I'll take the 4,000 passing yards and 30 touchdowns. I'll stick with that.
That's fair. Guys you don't like, Justin.
I don't like C.J. Stroud, where he's going. He's got to finish way above where he finished last season. He doesn't really run, so he's got to have a 35-plus touchdown season, I think, with minimal interceptions, like a Mahomes, as a pure passing quarterback to pay off where he's getting picked. I love Kyler Murray this season. I agree with you, John. I like Jordan Love. I like a lot of the quarterbacks going after Stroud. On top of thinking they could easily finish ahead of him, they're being drafted significantly later. So I am out on C.J. Stroud this season. And kind of the same reason I was with Kittle, but I don't love him as a player nearly as much as I do Kittle. I'm kind of off Lamar Jackson as well. It's just 30 points and then, 14 points. I know he runs, but, he's ran kind of less and less. He is getting a little bit older. So, but he slips a fair amount, so I could still end up with him. But Stroud's the one for me that I'm completely out on. And I'll just say one more reason I like the Jordan Love and even a Caleb Williams is they're easy to stack. You can easily stack a DJ Moore or a Roma Dunze with a Caleb Williams and not have to give up a whole lot. You can easily stack Jordan Love with one of, Christian Watson, Jalen Reed, one of those two guys. So C.J. Stroud's the one I'm out on, though.
Yep, I'm out, too, and that's just based on where he's being drafted. I like the player. Lyle, somebody you're out on.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the big quarterbacks are just too high for my threshold, I guess. Josh Allen's going in the second round. Mahomes is a third-round guy. Hurts as well. Depending on where you're slotted in your build and how you're able to build your roster, I think there's just so many other quarterbacks. When you scroll down, you look, Jared Goff is going the 15th quarterback.
Great start to the season, too. His schedule is so juicy.
And so, you could get him with pick 10, 11, 12 maybe. I just don't know if I want to pay up for the quarterbacks this year. If I were to pay up for one, I probably would just stick with Allen. I mean, but that again, he's the first one that's probably going to be going off the board. So, I generally would shy away from the top five guys, try to find one in round 6, 7, 8, or even like I did last night. I think I waited till round 9, I think, to take care of the quarterback position.
Jack, guys you're staying away from.
Well, I can give it to you real easy. Kyler Murray, don't like the guy at all. I think he's too little. I think he's going to get hurt. I think he's going to try to be too mobile and do too much. And again, so, all right, so let's take a look at where Kyler Murray's going, right? So top 10, he's going off the board as one of the top 10 quarterbacks. I would rather have Brock Purdy, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, maybe Justin Herbert. I'd rather have any of those guys than Kyler Murray. He's just big name, big flash, lots of fun, never panned out, not really. I know he's got Harrison Jr., I get it, but I'm not taking him where he's going. I'm avoiding him like the plague.
Two guys I am out on for sure. Justin Herbert is one of them. Plantar fascia. And I guess he's doing all right. He'll be out there week one, but I think that's a lingering injury. He ain't got anybody to throw the ball to. He's got a Jim Harbaugh-led team that wants to play bully ball, and I don't want Justin Herbert on any of my teams. And even further down the line is Deshaun Watson. Boy, that arm is, there's nothing left. He's having more shoulder work on it. Might be the Jameis Winston show. And what an outright disaster this contract has been for the Cleveland Browns. Not that they don't deserve it. They've had a crappy football team since Otto Graham was their quarterback. So yeah, good for them. Nice job, guys. And Deshaun Watson, there's just no chance he'll be on any of my teams at all. Got any late rounders that you might want to try out, Justin?
Yeah, Goff. I'll take a shot on Goff just because his first like 4 to 6 games, on the information we do have, look like fantastic matchups. We know the offense is very good. He is a solid guy you can grab late. He's great to pair with if you grab a Jaden Daniels. I did take Herbert last night. I don't fully disagree with you, John, but he is out of the boot and he's been playing. There's a chance he outperforms what everyone thinks because he's done it before. You know, he's a guy that's a 4,000 yard, 30 plus touchdown type of quarterback. But I don't know, like you, who he's going to be throwing the ball to yet. So
yeah, super talented player. I just don't like the situation. Lyle, any late round flyers for you?
Tua's a pretty good pickup. I like Goff as a pickup. I mean, these are for generally maybe being backup guys. But if you're in a 2-quarterback league, I mean, it would be awesome to have those as your number 2 options. And if you want to go a little deeper in like a format like that, I mean, I think it'd be kind of fun to pick up Will Levis maybe even, or maybe a little Sam Darnold in a 2-quarterback format. But I think if we're really being serious about like top 12 guys, who could be a top 12 guy at the end of the year? I think Tua definitely could be, just with the weapons they have this year. It's all a matter of health with him.
I am all about Jameis Darnold. I totally agree. Jack, late round flyers?
Yeah, let's talk here about Jared Goff. I got Jared Goff as my backup QB last night, or when we did the draft. And last year, standard scoring, 305 fantasy points. Mahomes had 300. 30 touchdowns. Mahomes had 27. 12 interceptions. Mahomes had 14. 4,500 passing yards. This guy's going as the 15th or 16th quarterback off the board, and he's a top 10 quarterback, no doubt about it. That being said, I like Jared Goff a bunch. I think if you can get him, if you pass on all your quarterbacks, take Jared Goff. If you want to go deep flyer, I'm taking some real late flyer gambles on Justin Fields in the hopes that Russell Wilson doesn't get the starting job or can't stay healthy, and Fields gets to shine with a pretty cool offense down there and a coach that knows what he's doing.
Who? Which coach? Well, Tomlin or Arthur Smith? Oh,
not Smith. Okay. Tomlin.
You know Smith's running the offense.
Tomlin. Yeah, he's not running anything. FedEx is probably opening a new warehouse in Pittsburgh. That's probably what's going on.
Yeah, it's your old friend, Jack. I'm sure he's going to lead the Pittsburgh Steelers offense to 13 wins, I'm sure.
Late round flyer. Oh, go ahead.
He couldn't lead himself out of a wet paper bag.
Late round flyer for me, a guy you can get in like the 11th, 12th, 13th round is Kirk Cousins. In other leagues, he gets taken earlier than that, but I like him as a late round flyer. I love the Billy Jean's take. I think that would be a fun one to try. And again, this is your backup. I think Geno Smith is going to have a nice year this year with Pete Carroll out. And I think JSN is going to have a nice comeback. I'm not all in on Metcalf, but he's a nice weapon to have. I wouldn't mind throwing Geno Smith in as your bye week blues kind of guy. And maybe you've got some upside there. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Well, moving on Fantasy Football Foursome XL, we're going to talk rookies. And this is going to kind of be an open discussion just on the 2024 rookie class, which I'll tell you, as a fantasy football guy, I think you guys can all agree too, this was exciting. I mean, there have been years, you think about like the 2013 draft where there was nobody. And, some of these years where you're just scraping and thinking, well, I guess I'll try him. But there are so many good rookies in so many good situations and some pretty exciting stuff out there. Lyle, I'm going to kick it off with you. And let's just talk about rookies you like this season and you want to have on your team?
Well, again, all related to where you get him, can get him in the draft. I really like Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I ended up snagging both in the draft the other night. And are they going to be league winners as rookies? Probably not. But can one of them give me a top 10 performance throughout the year? Or can I play matchups and get, as a combo platter, a top 10 performance out of them each week? I think I can. So I'd love to have those guys as like mid to late round picks and be able to build the top of my roster the way I want with receivers and running backs. So those are the top. I mean, they're big quarterbacks. They're big names. They've been people have been looking forward to these guys playing for months now because they have been pretty much cemented and anointed as starters. So I'm very excited to see what Williams and Daniels can do. Williams has a better surrounding cast, so I think maybe for this year, Williams is the better bet, but Jaden Daniels is a lot of fun to watch in Washington.
It's been a fun year, especially now that we have our Loon Dynasty League and actually conducted a rookie draft. That was a lot of fun and a lot of stress for somebody like me. And boy, I don't know. That was a good time. Anyway, let's go with you, Jack. Talk to me about rookies you like this year.
Well, I thought you were going to go to JJ. You taking Brooks, JJ? I don't want to step all over your touchdown call.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, I as soon as the draft was over, I looked and JJ had taken Brooks and already put him on the freaking IR, so he's opening up another slot. Jonathan Brooks, running back in Carolina. Not big on the Panthers for any reason, but as soon as this guy's healthy, I think he is a massive impact player. So I think he has to be drafted and stashed away on your bench. If I was playing a little smarter last night, I would have probably took him in the 15th round just to make sure JJ didn't get him in the 16th. But being able to stash what is potentially a number one RB on a team, you know, let's say maybe 6-8 weeks down after his ACL injury off end of last season, I think that's a great stash. And so that's who I think could have a really big impact on your roster. A running back that you could plug in every week from probably week 7 or 8 on, knowing that he's going to get probably 20 carries a freaking game.
Justin, rookies you like?
I like a bunch. Like Lyle said, I really like Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams because I can easily stack Williams with a DJ Moore, which Lyle did, or a Rome Odunze. And I like Jaden Daniels because he rushes. He looks polished. He looks poised. He played a ton in college. And he's your dual threat quarterback that could win you a league. I know Lyle said he didn't think either one probably won't. I think Jaden Daniels could. He could win you the league because he's a dual threat quarterback. And he is maybe the best passing running quarterback we have seen in a long time.
Since Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Elite rushing. So I like both of them. I like the running backs because the top three I can easily stack or handcuff. Right, I can get a Jonathan Brooks fairly late, and I can grab Chuba Hubbard super late. I can snag a James Conner, or I can grab Kyren Williams. I like both guys. And then I can get Benson or Corum way later, and I'm set. You know, I'm good. I'm safe there. I'm not typically a handcuff guy with running back. I'd rather take a shot at somebody else's. But it kind of makes sense with how late you can get them because they both have potential to step in. So I'm good there. And then the receivers, I like Neighbors. I'm big on Malik Neighbors. And I am a fan of Rome Odunze. Him and Williams just seem to have some chemistry and a connection. And Keenan Allen is old. I mean, he's year after year, though, he puts up his numbers and stats. But I think Odunze is going to have a bigger season than people realize. And then I really like Brian Thomas Jr. You know, other than the obvious Harrison Neighbors, I think he is the next rookie with the best chance to legitimately be the number one wide receiver on their team.
Oh, yeah. I had a list, too, and you hit most of them. I love Neighbors. I love Daniel Jones comes out and throws 33% of his targets to Neighbors. And, yeah, they're Daniel Jones targets. I get that.
And the other 67 to air.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah.
Opposing defenses.
You know, Drew Locke might be in before we know it. Well, he's competent, kind of, as well. But I love Neighbors. I'm with you on Odunze. I think not only is Keenan Allen old, but Keenan Allen put on 30 pounds. And we're not here to talk about body image or anything like that on this show, but 30 pounds on a 31-year-old or 32-year-old wide receiver who now looks like a tight end. He was never a fast guy to begin with. I don't think that's a good thing. I think Rome Odunze is the one who wins because of that. I love Brian Thomas Jr. I love Xavier Worthy coming out of Kansas City. Are you kidding me? The fastest guy to ever be at the combine with Mahomes.
Yep.
And this guy can run the routes. They're already, I mean, it took Rashee Rice the second half of the season to be a thing. This guy, I think Xavier Worthy is going to be a thing immediately. I really like him. I loved what you did with Jonathan Brooks. I'm not high on him doing much, but it's a great stash, and let's see what happens. I'm worried that
I think Worthy is the rookie impact receiver. I mean, if he has a really good year, he's competing with Harrison for, you know what I mean, rookie receiver title.
Yeah, and he could be a first-round pick if the year turns out the way it is. But the guy that intrigues me the most in the entire list of rookies is Jalen Wright. And so you bring in a guy who I think has the NCAA record for most touchdowns of 70 yards or more. So he's a speed burner, and you put him with Achan, and you put him with Mostert, and Tyreek, and Waddle, and this offense is full ignition. I don't know what Jalen Wright's deal is going to be on this team at this time, but I got him in Dynasty, and I'm excited about him, and I hope something happens. Is it going to be a three-headed backfield? I don't know, but when you're talking Dolphins and you talk what happened with Achan, you know, 15 carries, 210 yards, and two scores, Jalen Wright has every bit of the same type of, you know, possibility of doing that as well. So I'm really excited about that. Anything else you guys want to talk about when it comes to rookies before we get to the Loon draft?
Yeah, I don't think this guy's going to be super sexy this year, but I do like Ladd McConkey as well, just for PPR setups. There's not a lot of options besides Josh Palmer catching footballs for those Chargers, and I just think he's going to be a real solid play for somebody who could take round 10 or later.
Speaking of limited options, let's not forget about old Luke McCaffrey, CMC's brother Washington, who just got rid of Jahan Dotson. Yep. And you go look at their depth chart, and it's, you know, guys they had a couple years ago, you know, Kwame Brown, like Dynami Brown, however you say it. So I think he's a guy, too, for a rookie late that might do something. And if Ayuk gets traded, Ricky Pearsall in San Francisco.
Yeah. McCaffrey has to move upwards.
Monty Vidal out there going back to the Chargers. Mm-hmm. That running back game is up for grabs. So, you know.
Vidal Sassoon.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, if that offense doesn't look good, that coach don't look good. So he may be getting them some Vidal up in there.
Yeah, it looks like Vidal is going to probably make the team. I know he got banged up a little bit, but he's back, and he's going to be on that squad. And that's I agree with the Vidal pick. And yes, Luke McCaffrey, he's got to move up your draft boards with Dotson going away. There's just some real fun options. It is so deep. It's just such a weird, deep year for fantasy football, including the rookies, and I just think that makes it a better game. Well,
absolutely. Yeah, it's a good year. Good year.
We had our Loon Fantasy Football Draft, and that was on Thursday evening. And I just thought we would go open forum, and I don't know, guys, do you want to go round by round? Do you want to how do you want to handle this draft? Do you want to just go over your own teams? Do we want to talk mad crap about the other guys or just yes? I mean, just do everything. What do you want to do?
Everything.
I think we recap our drafts. We go through our draft boards quick, let everybody beat it up, and then maybe move on to the next guy. And we got to make sure we really beat up Eric.
Oh, no. I say we just kind of go through the rounds. First couple will be quick, right? It's not a lot of thought that went into it. And then, especially with Lyle, John, and I being right next to each other, every time we picked, we were thinking about what was going to happen, you know. So I kind of like going round and round because I really do remember what was going through my head for most of it.
Well,
that sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. Yeah. Round one of the draft. So, you know, as I said in the open, Lyle, Justin, John, Jack, 1, 2, 3, 4. That has not happened ever in recent memory. Eric LeBratton, who's also a contributor to the show, was 7th. And so it was kind of a beatdown situation here. But Lyle, no brainer, McCaffrey. Did you think about anybody else?
No, yeah. Especially with all the receivers holding out. I mean, you know, Tyreek probably would have been up there, but I just wanted McCaffrey. I know he's still dealing with a little bit of a calf injury, I think, right now, but it looks like he's all set to go, and he's definitely a player that will play through some minor injuries anyway. But he does have that durability concern, and I think he is up to 28 years of age now, but I just think he's got another couple good years left in a prime situation with that San Francisco offense too. So
in such a deep draft with so much talent, he's still the clear number one. Justin, you went with Breece Hall. Same question to you. I know you and I were texting back and forth throughout the last couple of days, but what made you take Breece Hall second?
Yeah, John and I were kind of communicating, and for me, I was just trying to decide between Breece Hall and Tyreek Hill. I felt very confident while I was going to take McCaffrey. If he didn't, I would have taken McCaffrey. I just liked how my teams looked through some mocks, starting with that running back. Breece Hall could absolutely finish as the RB1 this season. And I had the, honestly, you know, that's just it. I just liked how my teams look better starting with a running back from the two spot than with a wide receiver.
So we talk about the hero running back build. That is a hero running back build right there. Jack, he'll be in on it as well when we get to his pick. But that you start with just a set it and forget it running back, which I did not do. And I'll tell you this, had CeeDee Lamb not held out, he would have been this pick for me, but I get so fearful of those holdouts. And I don't care if he's training in Dallas and in great shape and whatever else. He hadn't been hit by anybody, and it worries me with high ankle sprains and things like that. So I went with Tyreek Hill, and I don't feel one bit bad about it. I love that Dolphins offense. I love the player. Still just a madman out there, so I was happy to get that. And then, Jack, you went hero RB with Bijan. I don't even know why I'm asking. Would you have taken anybody else? He had to have been on your radar.
Yeah, if he was there, I was taking him. If not, it would have been Tyreek Hill. This is the – for the last 2 years, I had Tyreek Hill, so I think it's the first year out of those that I haven't. But, yeah, set it and forget it running back. Plus, this – it just happens to play in to me getting the players I want to watch and the players I want to enjoy in their success. So an Atlanta running back – being able to go in the fourth spot. I don't remember that. I mean, even when Michael Turner was on fire, he didn't go that high. So this is exciting.
So rounding out round one, pick 5, CeeDee Lamb, 6, Ja'Marr Chase. Those were the top 6 players, in my opinion. Then things get a little murky, or at least things get messed up a little bit in my mind. Saquon Barkley goes to Eric in the 7th slot. So he's going hero RB as well. Or at least RB. JJ, Justin Jefferson next. Jonathan Taylor goes 9th. Kyren Williams goes 10th. That was a stretch for me, too. He's pretty early. The Sun God, Amon-Ra St. Brown, goes 11th. And then A.J. Brown, 12th. No surprise there. We move into round 2 with Gibbs. Derrick Henry, I thought, went a little early with 202. Marvin Harrison Jr., 203. The hype is real. Pacheco went early as well. So people, I think, started scrambling for running backs after the top guys went off the board. Nacua 5th, Garrett Wilson, then Devon Achan and Travis Etienne. Jack, you came back with a little bit of a surprise pick. Sam Laporta at 209.
Yeah, I honestly, so we got rid of defenses this year. We don't have kickers. We're doing a lot of flex positions, and I didn't want to be thinking for the rest of the draft, like, do I have these players locked in? PPR league, you have to have a tight end in the tight end position. There's only one spot there, so I figured I might as well take the best guy, and I do love what the Lions are doing this year. I think they're probably going to win the North. I think the Packers will compete, but I would take Sam Laporta in this spot again over and over and over.
I then came back, so I went zero RB. No shock, I guess. I just, all the RBs were gone by the point I was ready to pull any triggers. But I took the guy who I think is going to emerge out in Houston out of the 3 receivers, and it's Nico Collins. And I think Tank Dell is a stud, but he's a little stud who's 165 pounds. I worry about injuries there. I think Steph Diggs is a whiny old diva, and so I took the guy who I think Stroud's going to get the ball to the most, and that's Nico Collins. You follow that up, Justin, with Mike Evans.
Yeah, after the very first opportunity in the draft, I got sniped. This was the most painful part of the draft for me, honestly. I am big on Nico Collins. I agree with you. He can finish as, listen, it's a long shot, but he is the last guy in a tier for me that could potentially finish as a wide receiver one. If you look at his efficiency and what he did with his opportunities last year, all the data's there. So that hurt. Great pick, John.
Thank you.
I then am looking at Mike Evans, Olave, Pittman, and Adams. And I honestly, right at this point, I went, I don't want to end up with Olave and Pittman. I don't mind either one, but I'm unsure of both, so I don't want to get stuck with both. So I took Evans. I went with the guy that's, the most consistent and will get the touchdowns. And then I made Lyle decide, what to do at receiver with those guys.
Well, I like the Evans call. He's still going to put up wide receiver one numbers. But then, Lyle, you went back to back after CMC. You got a nice pair of receivers with Olave and then Pittman in the third.
Yeah. So when I had McCaffrey, and like you were saying, the running backs were gone. So you knew you were probably going to go receiver. I guess I maybe could have taken Josh Allen or something like that. But I kind of just went with the board. I think Olave was definitely the top player on my list. And then Pittman's just steady. I maybe could have went for Davante Adams, maybe a Deebo Samuel or something like that. But I think I definitely went the safer route with the Pittman call. So hopefully he has a bigger year in the touchdown department, because I think he only had four last year. So maybe a little extra luck near the end zone for Pittman will pay off for me this year.
Josh Downs is hurt. So, yeah, Pittman and A.D. Mitchell are kind of it right now for Indianapolis. Justin, then you followed that up. You let Lyle do his thing, and you grabbed yourself the legend, Davante Adams.
Yeah, I was really happy with this. I know he's, I took two receivers that are getting a little bit older, but this is redraft. It's not dynasty. And Adams finished as the ninth wide receiver last season with god-awful quarterback play, a disaster with the coaching staff, in the organization, just a lot of negative stuff going on. I think, the emergence of Myers last season and the addition of Bowers is only going to help Adams. So I was pretty happy to get him here. If it wouldn't have been him, honestly, John, it would have been the guy you took next or Deebo Samuel for me. I am out on Diggs as well. But Adams was pretty easy here.
Deebo went really late. So what I did was, I went upside, and I knew I wasn't going to see him if I didn't take him now. And it was Malik Nabers. I like what I'm seeing. Justin talked about crappy quarterback play with Davante Adams. Well, we're going to have that in New York as well with the Giants. But I think this guy is just all world talent in a draft where three or four guys could have been number one receivers any other years. I think Malik Nabers is just a total rock star, and I love that pick, and I'm very happy with it. And then, Jack, you came back with Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, so I had some late-round receivers that I knew there were so many of them that I would be able to catch a couple of them, and I wanted a part of the Houston Texans receiving core. And like, because you said with the injury and the size, I didn't want to reach for Tank Dell. I know Diggs is a diva. Everybody knows that. I mean, the guy's a problem. But if he can hold it together for, half the season even, and I think it's a decent pick. This was really just me wanting a piece of that Houston offense. And I like Diggs better than I do Tank Dell anyway. So went with it.
James Cook, I'm not in on him this year. Round 305. Cooper Kupp slips to round 306. Travis Kelce from Eric, the second tight end off the board. I haven't said that in the last 8 years or so. Josh Allen, now here go the quarterbacks. I'm surprised they lasted to round three. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes go off the board first. And Brandon Ayuk, Joe Mixon, and DK Metcalf rounds out round three. Rashad White, Deebo, I thought that was late for Deebo. Lamar Jackson, Josh Jacobs, 404, Drake London. I thought, Jack, you might have a comment on this. I thought London was going to be a round two or three pick. How did he slip to round four? And why didn't you have him?
Yeah, I thought he would have gone sooner, too. I don't have him because I have Bijan, and then because of my fourth round pick. But I think that you know, there's a lot of Minnesota people in our league, and you guys are so tainted on Kirk Cousins. You got such a negative opinion of the guy. I don't think you believe in him. So I really think that plays into it.
Well, then you got sniped by Eric taking C.J. Stroud, Jack.
Yeah, I did want Stroud. That was the quarterback I was hoping to get. I had him as the number two quarterback on the year behind Hurts, so didn't happen.
I am stunned that Stroud and Mahomes went before Jalen Hurts. Anthony Richardson then goes off the board, and Jack, you pick up round four. Good value here. Kirk Cousins, Atlanta quarterback.
Absolutely. Absolutely great value. Listen, this guy is a freaking baller. He always has good seasons. Even when he got injured, he was still leading the NFL.
It's a terrible pick. Let's move on.
It's not
There's
a
no justifying
pick at all.
It's way too
it
early.
It's not a terrible pick at all. It's the perfect pick, especially yeah. if you
I guarantee
want
you,
your
you
quarterback.
Could have got him 5+ rounds later.
I think I could have gotten him 2 rounds later. Five rounds, no way. I think 2 rounds, I don't disagree. But, Justin, I couldn't go into this season without having him. That's just the bottom line.
That's fair. That's fair enough.
At least that's the truth. Not that it was a great value. Yeah, I just had to have it.
Jane Daniels went in the 9th. You definitely could have got him in the 10th.
Let's talk draft reality. I was looking at a quarterback in round 4. I was looking at C.J. Stroud and Jalen Hurts. And then my third that I thought could have a great year is Anthony Richardson. And they literally went the 3 picks before me right there. So my top 2 I wanted were gone. And then the one that I was thinking as my starting QB for the season might be Richardson also got sniped way earlier than I thought he was going to go. So then I thought, well, heck, I was going to get Cousins as a backup. I'm just going to take him now. It was just a 60 seconds. I knew I wanted him on my team, and I thought, you know what? We're doing it.
All right. Round 4. Just killing ADP right there with that pick. I took in round 410, I took Alvin Kamara. I had to get a running back. I mean, I had 3 wide receivers, and that was it at that point. So I like Kamara. I don't know what I'm expecting out of him other than I do love the fact that Carr is a checkdown machine, as I said in the show earlier. I think that's all I'm hoping for this season is a bunch of receptions. Justin, you followed it up with Mark Andrews, who is getting a lot of love this year as a tight end.
So, kept myself really like these 2 picks. This one, I very deliberately, again, I know Lyle's behind me. Lyle's not going to, I can count on Lyle to not make some wild ass pick where a guy's going to fall back to me. So I know what I'm working with Lyle. I hate complimenting all you guys, but Lyle's solid drafter. And then John, obviously I got you on the other side of me and we are very similar in players we like. Yeah. Nico Collins, you. Mother, I'm not over it at all. It's going to eat at me all season. So anyway, I was excited to get my number one tight end. I was looking at Devonta Smith, DJ Moore, Jalen Waddle. Could not believe all 3 of those guys were there. Right. And I was absolutely fine with any one of them. I absolutely was. I gave Lyle some crap that I preferred Waddle, and I did, but by a hair. You know, I was totally cool with DJ Moore or Devonta Smith. Smith's probably my least favorite. Just because I don't know why. I've had him before. But anyway, so I went with Mark Andrews. I wanted him. I really wanted to get that tight end locked up. Lyle then picked, and I'll let him go, and then we'll see how it worked out for
him. Yeah, Lyle, you're assembling quite a team here with Devonta Smith, and then in round 5, DJ Moore, a couple of high upside guys.
Yeah, so you talked about those quarterbacks. But at that point, I knew there were 7 teams that had gone quarterback. And I'm like, do I want to take the 8th quarterback or do I want to keep beefing up the roster? And it just fell in my lap, Devonta Smith and DJ Moore. And Waddle was on my list too, but even Zay Flowers and Tank Dell, who we're going to be talking about here in a second. I mean, that was a really good landing spot for me to hit 2 receivers. And in our format, we have 2 receivers, 2 running backs, tight end, and 2 flexes. So basically, I filled out my 2 flexes by round 5. With this move. So I was pretty happy with that.
Oh yeah, for sure. And Justin, I think you got really good value here too. This is what upset me about not taking running backs is I had to miss out on some of these guys. I would have taken your pick a lot sooner. And he's healthy. Yeah, he had a down year last year, but he is one injury away from being just a monster, and that's Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, this is the point where you, me, and Lyle really locked in and committed to what our team builds are going to be. And I kind of knew this would be the rounds where it's the point of no return. Well, kudos to you, John, for getting Kamara where you did, starting out three wide receivers. But as Lyle said, that quarterback run, you starting with three wide receivers, all or what caused those three receivers to fall. And then, yes, I got Jalen Waddle, who even with a healthy Tyreek Hill, when Jalen Waddle is healthy, he's 100 reception, 1,000-yard guy. And if anything happens to Tyreek, just like even one game, Waddle is a wide receiver one, no doubt about it. So that I was super, super happy to get him. It was a nice, I will tell you, the other guy I was going to pick here, my plan in this round was to take Rashee Weiss. I did not in a million years think that Waddle, I just couldn't justify taking him over Waddle. That's it. Otherwise, I was planning to take Rashee Rice here in the fifth round because I believe there was no way he'd fall back. But I got Waddle, so here we are.
I wanted Rashee Rice too, but I only had one running back, and so I forced my own hand here. And I'm happy with this pick. In round 503, I got Aaron Jones, Vikings running back. I don't know why. I seem to be the only guy who likes him. I think he's a pretty young 29 or 28 or whatever he is. I like that he's going to catch passes out of the backfield. I think he's going to be rock solid, and I was very happy to see him at 503. I wanted Rashee Rice, but I needed a running back. Jack, you took a running back, and a guy I like, especially now that Pete Carroll's gone, Kenneth Walker III.
Yeah, and I think people are down on Jones, John, because of Sam Darnold. I mean, simple enough, the Vikings just have too much drama going on. But yeah, I took, and you know, JJ, you left me out of your you, John, and Lyle locked in. Listen, I've got a consensus one running back, the number one tight end, a number two wide receiver. I think Diggs is going to be the number two pretty easily in Houston. All he has to do is not be too dramatic. And I have my starting quarterback for the year on the team that I wanted. So I came back and wanted to anchor up that running back position. Kenneth Walker III out in Seattle, definitely his job. Metcalf's another year older. Lockett's another year older. They do have Smith and Jigba, who I think is going to just be phenomenal this year. But they're coming back with Geno Smith. I think Walker's going to be a big, big part of this offense. And I think he's going to be a very, very solid top of the tier, tier two running back.
So then we move on. Zay Flowers at 506. T. Higgins, I think that's a really good pick there. Tank Dell coming off the board, 507. George Pickens, it's wide receiver central here. Amari Cooper, and then, what's that?
Amari Cooper in that spot, I think, is an absolute steal.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. So then we have Trey Benson. This is the one that had me scratching my head a little bit. 5'10", Trey Benson. He's, well, James Conner doesn't come off the board until later. I'm not sure what was going on there. Another
Trey
guy.
Benson's an inch taller than his quarterback, though, John. So he's got the height advantage. He can't see what's going on.
You know, we never said one word about this guy, and we talk about bell cow running backs. Let's just take a minute to talk about. I want to hear your guys' thoughts on Zamir White. Went 5'11" in this draft. No, you talk about somebody with no respect at all, and in a pretty good situation. Lyle, tell me why everybody's passing over Zamir White.
Well, I do have him in the Dynasty League, and I'm pretty thrilled to have him. I kind of think that's a fitting spot for where he's at. He really proved down the stretch last year with, I think, three or four games left down the stretch that he could handle 20 carries. I think it's just a matter of maybe just he hasn't proven it over a full season, but I like Zamir White a lot, and if he was your number two running back, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, he's got.
I think it's that quarterback carousel they're looking at, John. Mm-hmm. And then I think it also speaks to the sexiness of the depth of talent this year that you've been mentioning, that he can fall that far.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's because he's not as talented as Joe Mixon. And he is purely a volume play. I don't think Zamir White has anything really special that stands out about him. And he's capped at best RB2, and it's purely because of volume.
And he doesn't catch passes out of the backfield.
No, he does not, and he's not that good a runner. Go look at his average yards per carry, his broken tackles, yards after contact. Like, He is. It's a good pick. It's a good value where it's at because the volume alone will get him RB2 numbers. But I think that's why a lot of people are kind of – that's why I don't mind picking him where he's going. I want to take him in round five. But that's why – for me, I think that's why he's falling. He's just – he's not that talented.
Yeah, and a similar guy in a similar situation who I think has a little more talent, though, fell next, and that was Ramondre Stevenson closing out round five. Round six, we kicked it off. What's that?
Stevenson is the most talented running back on the worst team in the NFL.
Right, right.
I mean, you put that guy in Los Angeles, put him with the Chargers, he went three rounds sooner.
Yeah, he's Todd Gurley. I agree. Moving on to round six, Calvin Ridley, Chris Godwin, Trey McBride, a guy I wanted, goes in round six. DeAndre Hopkins, I thought that was a stretch for DeAndre Hopkins. He's 32 with a bum knee. Keenan Allen on a bum tee. Yeah. And Eric takes Keenan Allen round 606. We'll see how that pans out. Pitts.
That's almost his weight.
That's kind of an Eric pick. I think Eric got a little bit lost in the draft there and just grabbed the name.
Kyle Pitts, we'll see what happens with the new coaching regime there. Evan Engram comes in. And then, Jack, you get what I believe at the end of the year we may call the biggest value. And that's Rashee Rice at 609.
Yeah, and this was I've got Rashee Rice on all my draft boards, actually, maybe even a little higher than this. But, you know, I've got two running backs at this point. I've got my QB, my tight end. I've got one wide receiver who I think is going to be a number two on a powerful offense. So I thought, okay, is there someone that I can snipe that has a potential to be number one on a powerful offense? And there are still a couple of wide receivers on the board that are primed to do that. But I think having a piece of that Kansas City offense is just too much to pass up. So,
yeah, I think that was a really good pick. At this point, I knew if I didn't do it, I wasn't going to get a quarterback that I wanted. So I grabbed Kyler Murray at 6'10", and I'm happy about that. I think he was, as far as mobile quarterbacks, he was the bottom of my list. Not bottom, I don't want him, but just the last guy I would be excited starting every single week with all the additions and Harrison and everything like that. Justin, you got a pick that I think is going to be another great value pick with 6'11", where you took DeAndre Swift from Chicago.
Yeah, so the little mini run of four tight ends in this round, combined with losing out on Rashee Rice, you getting really good value on Kyler Murray, and then a couple, you know, picks in the rounds before that generally I've not seen in any other draft, you know, before round 10, Trey Benson, Kirk Cousins, DeAndre Swift fell to me, it was a great consolation. Losing on Rice, you know, it hurt, but Swift kind of fell down the draft board, and I only have one running back at this point, and he is a pass-catching running back. I was really happy to get him as my RB2. On a team that I think will be fun to watch this season.
You wouldn't have gotten Rice. I was all set to take him. I had him queued, and because I thought Murray would come back to me in seven. Lyle, you go back to back. Another volume play here.
Real quick, John. Yeah, John. Justin, you're DeAndre Swift with Rice gone and whatnot. I think a great draft strategy when that happens to you and you get sniped. Don't be afraid to filter it down to those running backs. It's always a valuable limited position. If there's a name on there that's a starter and you just got, you know, you just got sniped, take them. You know, I think it's a great spot. It's a good pick. It's like a good, okay, my guy's gone. This guy is still going to be solid.
Well,
can't go wrong.
You know, filling your roster with the same position is a great idea. Ask Justin from the Loon who grabbed not one, not two, but five quarterbacks in this league.
He didn't even finish. He didn't even do the not three, not four.
Yeah, yeah.
So many.
Yeah, and including Josh Allen, the guy he's going to put out there every time. So we'll try and get him on air to discuss that. Lyle, you got Brian Robinson Jr. at the end of the sixth. I like that pick. And George Kittle in the seventh. What do you got there?
Well, again, you know, last time when I was picking, I didn't want to take quarterback, and the only quarterback that went off the board was Kyler. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to take quarterback. I had only one running back at that point, so I took Robinson. I'm thinking back to last year. I think he was a top five running back through like week 10 or 11 last year. So if they give him the chances that he was getting last year, and that Eckler doesn't take over too much of the pass catching role from him. I like him a lot. And then I know there were tight ends taken, but I really wanted to make sure I got Kittle before the depth of tight ends started to be tested. So I was pretty happy to get Kittle and maybe a little bit of a stretch to take Robinson there, but I really wanted to make sure I had at least a decent number two running back.
I don't think it's a stretch for Kittle at all. I mean, there's a guy who could finish tight end one that you got in round seven. I mean, he's got the talent to do it in the team, certainly. Yep. Justin, you came back with a coin toss on who's going to be breaking out of the Green Bay wide receiving core. Took Jaden Reed.
Yeah, it was down to three players here: Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, or James Conner, and a little peek at Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And then I went and looked. This is a benefit to having the draft board. Lyle didn't take a quarterback there, which I was already thinking about when I took DeAndre Swift, because I knew how many teams needed quarterback yet. And being the two pick and knowing Lyle was going to pick after me, I knew math-wise, if somebody didn't take a second quarterback, I had a really good shot at getting one of the two guys I want. So here, I gambled, hoping that Love would come back to me for that reason, and took Jaden Reed.
Yeah. I went 703 with David Montgomery, and I'm very happy with that. I think he's the guy in the 20s on a team that's going to be scoring a lot of points this year, playing indoors. I have no problems with David Montgomery as a flex play week after week after week. And then, Jack, you came back with my favorite guy out of the two-headed Pittsburgh backfield. He's a little banged up right now, but I think he's going to start the season. Maybe not. Jaylen Warren.
Yeah, I'm strangely excited about the Steelers offense this year. And to be honest with you, I'm not even 100% sure why. But last year I did have Warren and Harris together on one team. And I can tell you, there were weeks that I started both of them out of, you know, lack of options, and combined they scored me 30 plus points. So I wanted to get some piece of that. And I'll tell you, John, you're Montgomery. I think he also finishes at the top of that tier two running back. I think he's better than a sexy flexy.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Terry McLaurin, which might turn into a great pick, goes after Warren. James Conner, Najee Harris goes to Eric. I still don't know why Najee Harris is a thing. I just don't get it. Javonte Williams, that could be another good value pick in a Sean Payton offense. JSN, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, a guy who I thought would fall to me in the next round. Christian Watson, Joe Burrow, and Dak Prescott close out round seven. Round eight, Christian Kirk, Zach Moss. I was surprised he went first. Jordan Addison comes in. Raheem Mostert, the guy I had queued up that round. Goes Austin Eckler, you can have him. Devin Singletary, Xavier Worthy, another guy in my queue. Zeke Elliott, all talk out of Cowboys camp is that he's cooked. Jack, you got another guy who is very intriguing to me in round eight. At 809, you got Khalil Shakir from the Bills.
Yeah, and this was with Diggs moving on and looking around Buffalo and looking at what the options were. It was like it's him or Gabe Davis kind of a deal, right? I know they got some rookies. They got Kincaid. They might have Knox out there. James Cook never does anything at running back. So it's the Josh Allen show. Well, Shakir has shown, those signs of flash. And over his last three games last season, he was getting about four to five targets a game. So if we can get that out of him this season, I think that he's a good WR3 sexy flexy spot.
I took Deontay Johnson for reasons I explained in the show earlier at 8:10. Then, Justin, you got another kid who just I think he finished quarterback three last year or something like that. Jordan Love, round eight.
Yes, he was top 10. And we kind of talked about this earlier. He finished the season strong. He balled out in the playoffs. I grabbed Jaden Reed. It worked out. This helped a little bit with the loss of Rashee Rice and Nico Collins getting sniped for me. But I also saw the player I ended up taking in the next round sitting there. Rome Odunze was sitting there. And I was hopeful that Lyle just wouldn't be able to resist the value on those two guys. But I'll let him tell you what happened. So I was pumped to get Jordan Love. The last, there's one other QB I wanted, but Love is the one I have, ahead. So,
Lyle, in round 8-12, you finished it up with Tajay Spears, a guy I think is going to be the leader of that two-headed rushing attack in Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I was just looking through his stats from last year. It was nothing special, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield. It's just a matter of him being better than Tony Pollard. And last year, Tony Pollard was just very ordinary for Dallas. So if Spears can somehow get 60% of the workload, I'll be happy with him because he'll be my running back three. And he might just sit on my bench for a lot of the year. So I was okay getting him. And then I really wanted Jordan Love. I thought Love was going to fall to me and I was going to be able to get him, but Justin up there was able to snipe him. And so then I just had to decide between Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. And just with the running factor, I think he's going to get 5, maybe 8 rushing touchdowns kind of as a floor. I took Daniels, and I'm happy to have him to fill out basically the starting lineup for my team.
Yeah, Lyle took Jaden. Lyle, who I now look at as a jerk, took Jaden Daniels in round 9 as player number 1. That's who I wanted. Justin, you made the play, and for those of you in fantasy who are looking for some different strategies, this is a good one. You took Jonathan Brooks, who, of course, is not going to start the season for Carolina, but why'd you grab him there?
It was a no-brainer. I mean, I was kind of hoping that Lyle would take Jaden Daniels, but then I would have had to decide between Brooks, Daniels, and Roma Dunze, because I kind of liked Roma Dunze here, knowing that I could probably grab Caleb Williams on my next pick, and then I have 2 really low-budget, you know, cheap stacks. But the value is just too good. I think Brooks, this is 2 rounds after where he's typically going, even with the injury thing. Round 9 is a great spot to take a dart on a guy that could be an RB1 that, you know, should play at some point in the season. So I grabbed Brooks. I was thin at running back anyway. You know, I did the kind of the hero RB with Brees. Then I grabbed DeAndre Swift. Now I have Jonathan Brooks, who I don't need, you know, until week 7 when I have Swift on a bye. So this was just too good a value for me. Not necessarily part of the plan, but the value was too good. I couldn't pass it up. So I ended up taking Brooks over Adunze.
I took Adunze because I think he is going to emerge as the wide receiver 2. I think any other draft class, he's the first wide receiver picked. I think he is a special talent, and I'm very satisfied with round 9, Roma Adunze. Jack, you got a wide receiver who needs a little bit of a comeback, but certainly all the talent's there, and the team is there, and that's Rashad Bateman from Baltimore.
Yeah, so this goes in line with my Khalil Shakir, you know, getting Rashee Rice, getting Stephon Diggs. I'm looking for offenses that score points. The Ravens score points. And the Ravens are one of those teams where this is a coach that doesn't – John Harbaugh's quietly been the best coach in the NFL for more than a decade. I mean, all the guy does is just dominate the seasons, right? I mean, he's just so good. And he has said multiple times in the offseason – that Rashad Bateman is taking a step forward and is expected to be a top receiver in the league for the Baltimore Ravens. So that tells me he's going to be a bigger part of the game plan. I need some luck at receiver, to be honest with you, because I pinned probably too many hopes on Diggs. And so I just looked at a team that I wanted. I liked Bateman. He was there. I took him.
I will admit that Zay Flowers just feels like Marquez Hollywood Brown 2.0. to me, in a lot of ways. So I don't think he's a true number one receiver. And I don't mind the Bateman pick. I told my only issue is it's a little early, but this one's not, you know, we gave you a lot of crap for the Cousins one. This one's a little bit closer. I like Bateman. It may be nothing, right? You may end up dropping him, but he at least has that wide receiver 1 build, talent, profile. It's all there.
Yep. Hollywood Brown goes 905. I think that was a little early for that one. Keon Coleman, we'll see. The one that killed me, though, was 907, and Eric got Jameson Williams. I love Jameson Williams. He is so clearly the number 2 receiver now in Detroit with the Sun God, and I just think he is going to ball this year. A-Raj goes off the board at 908. Cortland Sutton, Jalen Wright, a little early for him, but he was on my radar too. Blake Corum and Dave Njoku goes to finish out round 9, moving over to 10. And then after 10, guys, we'll just talk about our picks and why we took them. We don't need to go over everything. But Tony Pollard, Jake Ferguson, I thought that was pretty good value at 10:02. Marshawn Lloyd, Brock Purdy going late. Chuba Hubbard, who is the starter right now in Carolina, But I stress right now, another guy on some of our boards, Brian Thomas Jr. goes 10:06. I had him queued up. And after he went, the other guy I had queued up went. And thank you again, Carter, for tearing my team in half. I wanted Chase Brown. Ladd McConkey. Yep. Ladd McConkey goes. And then, Jack, you pick up a little Tyler Allgeier so you can have the entire Atlanta backfield.
Yeah, just wanted to handcuff my number one RB. I think if something happens to Bijan, you know, which highly unlikely, but I think Allgeier slips in and it would then be probably an RB2 in the league. So, it was time to handcuff.
Allgeier is as good as it gets for a backup running back. This was a good pick by you, Jack. This is like a no-brainer handcuff. He has standalone value. You invested everything in Bijan. This pick worked out really well. One of my favorite picks here is in the draft.
Yeah, and I was going to try and be savvy, thinking that I could get somebody to come back to me. So I grabbed a little J.K. Dobbins, the guy I think is going to lead the Chargers backfield. We'll see how that turns out. Anyway, then at pick 11, the guy who I thought would come back to me didn't come back to me, and that was Brock Bowers, the guy I wanted at tight end, Justin.
Yeah, thankfully, John decided to forfeit his pick in round 10 and just pretended not to pick. So I got to take whoever I wanted, and it's upside. At this point, we're all joking aside, Dobbins is a dart throw, right? If somehow his leg is all good, he's definitely more talented than Gus Edwards. He's just never, ever, ever, ever done it, ever. And he's been in the league like 6 years. So it's a lottery ticket I don't want. I took a shot on Brock Bowers, rookie tight end, lining up all over the field, generational talent, and that's what it is. It's a dart throw in the double-digit rounds for a guy that may end up being a top-10 tight end, and now at worst has some trade value for me since I've got Mark Andrews. And Andrews does have some injury history, so I was happy to get Bowers right here for all those reasons.
Lyle, you finish up round 10 with Caleb Williams, and a guy who it's just, you know, when I talked on air, I brought up the fact that in this draft, I thought there was one very good quarterback, Caleb Williams, one good quarterback in Jaden Daniels, and the rest were all projects. I think this kid, nobody's ever had a better rookie quarterback situation than Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and I end up getting a stack out of the deal, too, with DJ Moore. So if I do roll with Williams over my other guy, Daniels, I feel like I'm in a good position. I was really happy to get him back because I was deciding the last pick, so 20-some picks ago, between Williams and Jaden Daniels. So I was able to scoop up both, and now I feel like I have at least – I should have one good option throughout the season at the quarterback position, and I was able to get him in rounds, 9 and 10.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And now from this point forward, we'll just talk about our picks because they're all pretty much dart throws at this point. Lyle, 11:01, Gus Edwards. Maybe he's the guy who leads the Chargers, eh?
Yeah. I just wanted to get a piece of that running back committee, or at least at this point, it looks like a running back committee, and they're going to run the ball. There's no doubt about it. They drafted an offensive lineman. They have Greg Roman, who only runs the ball when he's the offensive coordinator, whether he was with the Niners with Harbaugh and then with the Ravens with the other Harbaugh. So I just feel like Gus is a pretty safe bet. So he's probably going to be either a flex or a bench guy for me most of the year.
So another snipe happens, and yes, sniping can happen even in round 11. A guy I had queued up, and you got him from me, Justin. Another could be a huge value play, Jerome Ford, starting running back, Cleveland.
And that's why I took him. Taking Jonathan Brooks, you know, put me in a spot where if something does happen to Swift or Breece Hall, I don't have a starting running back to slide in there. So just kind of looking at the board, this is a good spot to grab one. Jerome Ford. I wanted Gus Edwards, but Lyle grabbed him. So it was either Jerome Ford or Rico Dowdle in Dallas. And again, Jerome Ford, I know, is the starter right now. So I went with Ford.
I tried handcuffing Aaron Jones in round 11, probably too soon to do it. But from 11 on, I really don't care. I'm just trying to finish up my team. So I grabbed Ty Chandler there. And then, Jack, you got a guy who's coming out of Denver with some rub because Javonte Williams, and what's Peyton going to do with the backfield? Jaleel McLaughlin is on a lot of guys' radar.
Yeah, I mean, even when he had Kamara fully healthy, Peyton wouldn't use him as an every down back, wouldn't use him in every situation. So again, it's in the 11th round. I want another running back. And I really like Jaleel McLaughlin. When you look at his stats from last year, there were teams he averaged 9 yards a carry, 5 yards a carry, 7 yards a carry. There was only a couple of teams that were able to hold him down, and they were, it was when he got really, you know, he got 2 attempts against Cleveland for 4 yards, stuff like that, 2 against Detroit for 2 yards. But then he gets 6 against New England for 37 yards, 8 against the Chargers for 44, 9 against the Jets for 68 yards. I mean, this guy, 7 attempts against Chicago for 72 yards. This guy knows how to run the ball, and if he gets the opportunity, I think he's going to be a really good sexy flexi play.
Nice. All right, we'll move on to round 12, where we were all picking in the back half, and throwing it back to you, Jack, another guy who certainly could emerge as the number one in Green Bay, or the number two, Romeo Doubs.
Yeah, and again, this goes back to wanting a piece of an offense. I know Doubs isn't the primary target there, but he's one injury away from doubling his targets for the year, probably. And the Packers, they know how to draft quarterbacks, man, and Jordan Love really looks legit. So I wanted to have a receiver that I could throw in on the bye weeks on the sexy flexy piece, and I think Green Bay's just going to have a good year.
So it's round 12. I still don't have a tight end on my team, and Loon League is a tight end mandatory league, so I had to get somebody, and my choice, Patty Fries. Oh, yeah, Pat Freiermuth.
The Muth.
Arthur Smith does, when the ball gets thrown, a lot of times it's to the tight end. So we're giving it a shot. Probably the first guy cut. I have no idea. There's nothing sexy about that pick at all. Round 12, 11. Justin, you were trying a little Justin Herbert, banged up a foot and all.
Yeah, so if I didn't have Jordan Love, I would have taken Jared Goff. Since I had Jordan Love, I want an upside shot. Goff is what he is, and he's definitely a safer draft pick here. He's probably a smarter draft pick for fantasy, but I think Herbert has a higher ceiling. Just because he can do, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 yards passing, he can absolutely hit 30 touchdowns, and maybe we're just all wrong about the Chargers and how they're going to do. Plus, I knew what my next pick was going to be, so I grabbed myself a discount Dollar General QB wide receiver stack here.
There you go. Lyle, you went with Jacoby Myers and Xavier Leggett, rookie, Carolina.
Yeah, I hadn't picked the receiver since round 5, I think. So I just wanted to get one more that I could trust in a bye week with Myers. And then I started throwing darts. And Leggett, Carolina is going to throw this football a lot. They did last year with a rookie quarterback, and it didn't look very good. Now they got a new coach and a little different personnel, and I'm just hoping that maybe by the end of the year, Leggett can be somebody that I can put in for a bye week.
The dollar store stack, Justin, that you talked about was Joshua Palmer.
Yeah, I like McConkey, but I didn't get him, and he is a rookie, and he's been hurt already, and that was a big problem for him in college as well. He has been injured all through his career. And he just got to the NFL and he started off being injured. So took a shot on Palmer. Like I said, we've never really seen Palmer have an opportunity, you know, consistently. He's always done well when he filled in for Keenan Allen or Mike Williams, and now they're both gone. He's healthy. I think he's only in his third season, might be his fourth. So yeah, we'll take it's round 13, fellas. Took a shot.
Yep, exactly. That's why I took Michael Wilson from Arizona. I think he's going to be the wide receiver too. I think there's going to be a lot of double coverage on Harrison, at least early. We'll see how it plays out. Jack, you got yourself a nice quarterback in round 13. That was round 4. Jared Goff goes 13-04.
John, I just want to make sure that we're straight. You have Kyler Murray, Trey McBride, and Wilson?
No, I don't have McBride.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, yes, took Jared Goff. So, I had a feeling that there'd be some questions about my quarterback selections. But Jared Goff, 2023, second in passing yards, attempts, and completions, fourth in TDs. And, again, he doesn't get out of the pocket. I'm okay with that. But he's the only QB in the last 2 seasons with 29 touchdowns and 4,400-plus passing yards. I think as a backup QB, at this late in the game, perfect pick.
So we move on to round 14, and we go 14-09. Jack, you came back with pretty much the DeAndre Swift handcuff, or they're going to be splitting time, Khalil Herbert.
Yeah, I think it's a timeshare, and I'm not big on Chicago at all, so I have no problem trading this guy, but, you know, this is a bye week play, a sexy flexy play. DeAndre Swift, you know, has been injured in the past. If he gets injured, it's Khalil Herbert's game all day.
Yeah, I took Braylon Allen in the 14th. That would be the handcuff to Breece Hall, although I think they're going to be – he'll see some time on the field. Reports are he looks pretty good in camp. Kendre Miller goes next to you, Justin, New Orleans running back.
Yeah, I'm probably going to drop him. He's got an injury now. Honestly, you took you stole my backup, so I was like, oh, I'm just going to take John's backup. That seems pretty easy, tit for tat. And then I took what may end up being the second leading rusher on the Saints in round 15. I'll just jump ahead. Sorry, Lyle. And I took Taysom Hill. You know, he's listed as a tight end in ESPN. It's round 15. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I really liked your pick, John. I will say this is the easiest year I've ever seen to do a quarterback, receiver, or tight end stack.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, just as an aside, like there are so many of them that you can do without forcing it.
Well, Taysom Hill is so fun to watch. I think it was also our fastest draft we've ever done.
Oh, for sure. It was pretty quick. In an hour, yeah. And Lyle, to close out 14 and 15 for you, you took a couple of upside guys. I like A.D. Mitchell. I think he's a take-the-top-off-the defense guy, and Richardson certainly can throw the ball far. So I really like that pick. And then you handcuffed yourself in 15 with Elijah Mitchell.
Yep. Yeah, Mitchell and Mitchell. And, yeah, I – definitely the safe play with Elijah. It could be Jordan Mason. It could be I think they drafted another guy, the Niners did. So there's competition for that backup job to McCaffrey, but I think I just went with the chalkiest of the bunch with Elijah Mitchell. And as for A.D. Mitchell, he could be the number two receiver on a pretty decent, I think, Colts team. So that's just an upside pick and hopefully pays off for me down the stretch.
Yeah, I grabbed Isaiah Likely in 15, not as a handcuff necessarily, but I think he's going to get some field time, but maybe a handcuff. And then, Jack, you got one of the more intriguing round 15 picks in recent memory, because this guy can get the job done. What will happen with Arthur Smith? We don't know. Will he even start? But I love this gamble in round 15 with Justin Fields.
Yeah, the only other player I would have taken would have been Vidal, and he was available at the time, and I was kind of going back and forth, and I've got Fields in the Dynasty League, and I just kind of wanted to marry that up a little bit too. Again, at this late in the game, it's like, let's say Russell Wilson gets injured, Justin Fields is the starter, and he's got Jalen and Najee lining up in the backfield with him. He's got Freiermuth out on the side that can catch and block. And he's got some receiving options out there. I think it could be a lot of fun to watch.
It was a fun draft for sure. Mr. Irrelevant in our draft, Jameis Darnold, quarterback, Minnesota. But I think that's
Jameis Darnold.
I think that's
I love it.
A pretty solid pick. Anyway, I have high hopes for young Sam Darnold. All right.
Well, and Alexander Mattison going right before that, too.
He did. Yeah. Vikings. And shout out,
he even got drafted.
Shout out to Johnny Munt, drafted in the Loon League this year. Pretty exciting year for Vikings, no doubt about that.
You don't punt on Munt, baby. You don't punt on Munt.
That is going to do it for this extra long version. Thanks for staying with us and going through our draft. We just wanted to give you an idea to where some of our, you know, players go. People just don't know how drafts are going to shake out. We all do a mocks. This one is how ours shook out. So, we will be back with the Fantasy Football Foursome each and every week, and thanks for tuning in to the show.